Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
A line of storms is possible with severe storms later on tonight, and we have a wind advisory also for our southern counties as that is coming through. I'll show it to you.
And I tell you again, I respect this court, but I'm innocent. I would never, under any circumstances, hurt my wife, Maggie, and I would never, under any circumstances, hurt my son, Paw.
Defiant until the end, disgraced, disbarred South Carolina attorney Alec Murdaugh, sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole.
And if you have a legal question, now's the time to take advantage of Five on Your Side's Attorneys on Call, how you can get answers at no cost.
We'll see showers on and off this afternoon, and it will become breezy. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Later tonight, we could see some severe storms. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center tracking when the storms get here and a new wind advisory to tell us about. This was just issued recently from the National Weather Service for our southern counties. It begins at 6 p.m. and lasts until 1 a.m. As that front gets closer to us and moves through, we could see wind gusts up to 45 miles per hour. Now, that doesn't quite reach severe criteria, which would be 58 mile per hour gusts. And so we are looking at the potential for some of the wind with the line of thunderstorms to be even stronger than that. But this would be for areas outside of the actual line coming through. Here's a look at the Whirligig Park here in Wilson. And the wind is, you know, it's blowing a little bit, but the Whirligigs are not moving too fast just yet. Again, the advisory is posted for starting at 6 o'clock. There are a few light showers out there right now moving out of the Sandhills up toward the Triangle area right now, seeing some showers just north of Pittsboro over toward Morrisville, Apex, Garner. So we're going to continue to see these showers on and off for the next few hours. And then we may see a little bit of a break, possibly even a few hints of sunshine later this afternoon. The actual front that could bring us the severe storms doesn't come in until much later. At 9 p.m., you can see that front approaching. You can see between, say, 10 and 11, it moving across the Triangle and then out of the viewing area by around midnight. And of course, we're not only covered by a level one risk for severe storms. Notice it's a level three back to the west and has been upgraded to include part of the mountains of North Carolina, but it's likely to weaken as it moves here. So we'll have the potential for just some isolated wind damage. Our temperature is climbing into the 60s and we'll hold there this evening. We'll have that line of thunderstorms again that comes through between 9 and midnight, but starting at 6 o'clock, we could start seeing some windy conditions, and it'll still be fairly blustery into Saturday. Coming up, I'll walk you through the next couple of days with the wind and show you how fast it will be. Elizabeth, thanks. We're following breaking news. A judge in South Carolina sentences a disgraced ex-lawyer to life in prison without parole for murdering his wife and youngest son.
In the murder of your wife, Maggie Murdaugh, I sentence you for a term of the rest of your natural life. For the murder of Paul Murdaugh, whom you probably love so much, I sentence you to prison for murdering him for the rest of your natural life. Those sentences will run consecutive.
Michelle McConaughey is in the WR Life Center right now. Michelle, before sentencing Murdaugh, the judge had some pretty sharp words for him, telling him he didn't expect him to confess.
Yeah, that's right. Murdaugh maintains his innocence. The judge, though, spoke about Murdaugh's lies during the entire investigation and about his whereabouts on the night of the murders, asking, when is this going to end? And he said, it has already ended because the jury has concluded that you have continued to lie and you've lied throughout the entire testimony. Take a listen.
And it's already ended for many who have heard you and concluded that it'll never end. But within your own soul, you have to deal with that. And I know you have to see Paul and Maggie during the night times when you're attempting to go to sleep. I'm sure they come and visit you. I'm sure.
All day and every night.
And the judge says Murdaugh's murder conviction qualifies for the death penalty. He says he's seen others receive the death penalty for lesser conduct.
Michelle, thanks for that. Tonight, an all-new Dateline will feature the latest in the trial of Alec Murdaugh, convicted of murdering his wife Maggie and son Paul. Insiders close to the family speak out for the first time to NBC News' Craig Melvin. That airs right here on WRAL tonight at 9.
We're waiting to learn the names of two people who were killed after a late-night crash in Wendell. It happened along Wendell Boulevard near Inspiration Circle. Michael Grace was there in the WRAL Breaking News Tracker until officers cleared the scene around 2:30 this morning.
Well, right now we're working to determine what led up to this crash that killed two people, taking investigators 4 hours to clear. The WRAL Breaking News Tracker was along Wendell Boulevard right near Eagle Rock Road shortly after 10:40 p.m. when the crash happened. You can see the intense damage to these two vehicles. The sedan caved in. The SUV ended up flipping upside down. While the investigation plays out into how this happened, we're checking in with authorities to determine who was killed in the crash. Investigators from multiple agencies are trying to pinpoint the circumstances that caused it all. I'm checking in with them and will continue to bring you new information once we get some answers. In Wendell, Michael Grace, WRAL News.
An 8-year-old girl who police say was killed by her grandmother will be buried today. Funeral services started an hour ago for Crystal Lane in Columbia, South Carolina. She died last month in Nash County here in North Carolina. Crystal's grandmother is facing murder charges. Investigators are looking into accusations of abuse leading to the girl's death.
If you have a legal question, you can talk to a licensed lawyer right now for free. Five on Your Side's Keely Arthur is live at this year's Attorneys on Call. It is underway, about an hour into it. Keely, how's it going?
It's going great, Jeff, and you can see my big smile because this is one of the first times we've had attorneys and legal experts back in person since the pandemic. So exciting. They've been here since 11 a.m. answering any and all of your legal questions. They represent 12 different legal specialties. We're talking about criminal law, education, employment, you name it, they will try to answer it. And here's the number we want you to call, 919-891-9779. Pack your patience. You might be put on hold for just a little bit, but make sure when the call is taken, you have a notepad or some other way to take notes and try to explain your situation as quickly as possible so they can help you. Now, these experts will be here until 7 p.m., but the experts in studio are, it's just the tip of the iceberg. There are hundreds more working online. My best advice, though, is call when you can. We tend to get really busy after work hours between 4 and 6. So call now, 919-891-9779 if you can.
Yeah, pack your questions as well. Keely, we'll check back in with you within the hour.
Momentum for offshore wind development is picking up in our state with an international agreement this week between North Carolina and Denmark. Stakeholders in the industry are in Durham today for a Winds of Change conference at Duke. WRAL climate change reporter Liz McLaughlin has been following the conversation. Liz, what did the governor and others have to say about the progress of offshore wind in North Carolina?
Well, Renee, the state faces a number of challenges, from infrastructure investment to port development. You can see it's pretty crowded here. The one-day conference here at Duke just broke for lunch. But it's a chance for utilities, for energy developers, for stakeholders and government officials to gather and talk about the practical realities of and the potential environmental impact of this industry here. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper spoke this morning emphasizing the potential economic impact of this industry and highlighting North Carolina's ambitious clean energy goals as one of the first states in the Southeast to put carbon reduction requirements into law in 2021. Now, North Carolina aims to get 2.4 gigawatts of power from offshore wind energy by 2030. That's a tight timeline. Duke Energy, one of the leases of those three sites under development off the North Carolina coast, says it'll be at least 10 years before those turbines are in the water and operational. So North Carolina is behind states to the Northeast on this development, on getting contracts, securing state funding for that infrastructure and supply chain development. I asked Governor Cooper about this after his address, and here's what he had to say.
I mean, we were successful getting this carbon reduction legislation through the General Assembly because of the economics of all of this. And so I think that we can catch up because we have a natural area to get this done. And we also have the great workforce and the business climate that's going to attract a lot of investment here.
This industry is expected to bring $109 billion to the East Coast over the next decade. That's a big potential for economic and job growth here in the state if North Carolina can be aggressive about offshore development here. Live in Durham, I'm Liz McLaughlin. Renee, back to you.
A lot to ponder as we look for other energy options here in North Carolina. Liz McLaughlin, thank you. Plans are now set for next week's State of the State address. Governor Cooper will deliver the address at 7 Monday night to a joint session of the state legislature. Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson will deliver the Republican response. You can watch it all on WRAL News Plus. You can watch WRAL News Plus wherever you stream via the WRAL News app and on WRAL.com. It's also available on Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257. You can even listen on the radio. Check out 99.3 in Raleigh, 96.5 in Durham, and 101.5 HD3 across the Triangle.
The United States is sending another round of military assistance to Ukraine. It will include ammunition and equipment Ukrainians will need for the systems they already have. Meanwhile, Secretary of State Antony Blinken met with Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov at the G20 meetings in India yesterday. It was the first time the two met since the start of the war in Ukraine. Two U.S. citizens are accused of sending aviation technology to Russia. Prosecutors say two Kansas men also provided repair services for Russian aircraft. Their arrests are part of the Justice Department's effort to stop money laundering and sanctions evasion of the support of Russian government. After Russia's war in Ukraine began last year, the U.S. government imposed sanctions on shipments to Russia.
Stock markets looking to end the week on a winning note. Look at the Dow rallying 250 points at this hour. S&P 500 also in the green, advancing 43 points. NASDAQ, the tech stocks, also doing really well, up 154 points at this hour. Now, if you're driving to or around the state fairgrounds in Raleigh, get ready for some big changes starting this weekend. NCDOT is closing the intersection of Hillsborough Street at Blue Ridge Road as part of a bigger construction plan. Crews will be working to run Blue Ridge under Hillsborough, the railroad tracks, and Barrel Road. The goal is to make that busy intersection safer, especially for special events at the state fairgrounds or at PNC Arena. Plan to use Western Boulevard or Edwards Mill Road to get around it. It will take months for the work to be completed.
Tomorrow, Duke and UNC men's basketball wrap up the regular season with Battle of the Blues Round 2, this time in Chapel Hill. We'll have live team coverage, pre- and post-game coverage from the Dean Center beginning Saturday, 6 o'clock. That's tomorrow, 6 o'clock on WRAL. Meantime, next at noon, ExxonMobil is being sued after several nooses were found at its facilities. What the company says it did about them.
Also, go ahead, put that device down. The Global Day of Unplugging, designed to connect you with the real world.
And election laws nationwide could be upended because of recent actions by the North Carolina Supreme Court. At 12:30, we'll sort it all out for you.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
ExxonMobil is being sued after several nooses were found hanging at a facility in Louisiana. The suit alleges Exxon was aware of complaints over hangman's nooses on its complex in Baton Rouge, but did not investigate. At least five were supposedly found at the facility between January and December of 2020. An ExxonMobil spokesperson says the company did investigate, but did not find evidence of discrimination. A federal judge has ruled a racial discrimination lawsuit against the NFL can now go to trial. Former Miami Dolphins head coach Brian Flores accuses the league of only hiring small percentages of black coaches, among other discriminatory hiring practices. The NFL has responded, saying diversity and inclusion make us a better organization. We recognize there's more work to be done, and we are deeply committed to doing it. The next pre-trial conference is set for March 24th.
In a world that's becoming increasingly connected, it's sometimes easy to feel like we're spending more time focused on our screens than the people right in front of us. Brian Yenis explains how a growing movement is hoping you'll switch off your device today and connect in real life. The stats may or may not shock you. The average American spends more than 7 hours looking at a screen every day, according to Data Reportal. Whether it's work, social media, streaming, or gaming, we've become dependent on our devices. But a growing movement is advocating for a break.
We've been so immersed in technology that I think that it is important for us to remind ourselves of all the other things that bring joy in our lives.
Falling on the first Friday every March, the Global Day of Unplugging encourages everyone to step away from all their screens and spend a 24-hour period from sundown to sundown connecting with themselves, their families, and friends.
This is a really good reminder that we're all human. We all need breaks, and it's really nice to just get off the hamster wheel, even for a day.
A study conducted by cloud-based digital adoption platform WalkMe shows workers spend 45 minutes a day simply toggling between applications. The constant switching slows workers down and makes it more difficult for them to focus on their job.
This is also an opportunity for businesses, for companies to think about how they might be contributing to digital burnout.
Experts say even taking a 10-minute screen break each day will help with productivity.
We re-energize. We're able to focus better. It really is a great way to reset your brain.
It's not just a hiatus from work. The movement's mission is aimed at being more present with the people in our lives. Ali Murjeski from Toy Insider shares these suggestions for families to spend time together and still have fun offline, including getting outside, crafts, and board games.
24 hours may seem like a long time to go without your phone, but there are tons of great things that you can do as a family. Getting toys and playtime involved is perfect because it keeps everybody having fun.
That was Brian Yenis reporting. And if you want to participate in the Global Day of Unplugging, it starts tonight at sundown.
The International Space Station is getting a bit packed. NASA's SpaceX Crew 6 successfully docked around 1:40 this morning. The Crew 6 astronauts join the Expedition 68 crew of NASA astronauts. For a short period of time, the number of crew on the space station will increase to 11 people. Four members of the Crew 5 team, who have been on the space station since October 2022, will return home in the coming days. SpaceX's Crew 6 astronauts will stay aboard the ISS for 6 months. A series of images from NASA shows that technology can be used to deflect asteroids should they ever appear to be on a collision course with Earth. NASA released images from the Hubble Space Telescope of an intentional collision of a spacecraft into an asteroid. And after impact, the debris created a comet-like tail. Unexpectedly, just a few weeks after impact, the tail split in two. The goal was to change the speed of the asteroid, and it worked. NASA nailed it.
Such a neat science project going on right there. We're on a collision course for some rocky weather here this noon.
We certainly are. We're seeing a lull in the rain right now, but we do have waves of rain coming and possibly some severe weather later, Elizabeth.
It looks like it would be between 9 and midnight. That's going to be the window of opportunity for our severe storms. We'll also have increasing winds, and even if we don't technically see severe level winds, it's going to be very breezy. And, you know, things like your trash can, if it happens to be your trash day, it could get tossed around a little bit, or lawn furniture. The wind could be strong enough for that. This is a look at our scattered rain that's developing across the area right now. It was definitely a wet start to the day. And then we've had a bit of a break over the last few hours. But from the southeastern portion of Wake County up through Apex to Chapel Hill and Durham, there's just a little wave that's developed with some showers moving north and east. This is not severe. It's just a band of rain that's moving through. But don't be surprised if you see that. Looking back to the west, this is what's happening here. And the history of this storm, at least along the cold front, has been to produce some severe storms. Right now, we're looking at a line of severe thunderstorms here along the front, and a few isolated tornadoes closer to the low. Now, the bulk of that's going to head up to the north, but we couldn't rule out seeing some of that around here, again, in that window between, say, 9 and midnight. So here's a look at Futurecast, and you can see some isolated showers popping up here and there. This afternoon, there could even be a few holes in the clouds, especially in our southern counties. There's 5 p.m., and again, it's not likely to be until much later in the evening. Around 9 o'clock, we start to see the line forming up and moving into our viewing area between 10 and 11 through the central part of the viewing area. and then it moves out to the east. During this time, even if that little line isn't moving over you, the winds are going to be really gusty. We do have the potential for some tornadoes against, already seeing some severe storms in this area across parts of Kentucky, Tennessee, and parts of the deep south. Parts of the mountains also have gone under that level 3 risk, but it's still a level 1 risk for us. What that means is that we would have a few isolated storms that could produce some wind damage. Again, we have that wind advisory that has been posted as well, beginning at 6 p.m. for the counties south of Raleigh. So it does include a number of our areas, all Johnston County, looking at Fayetteville, Clinton, Goldsboro, all of Moore County, of course, included in that as well, and Sanford. Winds gusting up to 45 miles per hour with steady winds at about 20 to 25. This is a look at our increasing wind speed forecast. Notice how by 8 and 9 o'clock, we start to see those steady winds going up. That's when we'll have the best chance of seeing some of those stronger wind gusts. We'll take a look at the flags here. Here in downtown Raleigh, this is a look at the legislative building here out to in front. It's not whipping around too much just yet. Our temperatures climb to 64. We'll climb into the upper 60s for our highs this afternoon. Temperatures up north are a little cooler, 52 in South Hill. It's almost 70 already there in Fayetteville. We could make it potentially into the upper 70s in our southern counties. We'll keep it in the low to mid 60s up north. Once we see all the system moving through, we're going to see a blustery start to Saturday, but lots of sunshine. 66 Saturday, 67 Sunday. It's going to be a chilly start to Sunday with our temperature at 41. It's been a while since we've seen temperatures that chilly. FanFest on Saturday. It's actually sold out, but if you happen to get one of those reservations, it's going to be nice for that. Willie Bull wants to say hello. No matter what you're doing, again, it should be a nice weekend after we get through Saturday morning where it'll be a little windy. Our next chance of rain comes on Tuesday, and then colder by next week.
Elizabeth, thank you. A portion of busy road in Raleigh will close this weekend. Ahead at 4, the work on the way for a bridge at Blue Ridge Road and Hillsborough Street.
Then at 6, as EV maker VinFast waits to start construction in our area, it starts delivering its first cars across the U.S. An update on the company's plan and what it'll take to build its Chatham County facility. And still ahead this noon, it appears to be the wave of the future, but not everyone wants to share the road with self-driving cars, what a new survey reveals.
Plus, Carnival is issuing a warning for passengers ahead of spring break. Don't act up. The penalties unruly passengers could face. More Americans are working part-time jobs by choice. New data from the Labor Department shows Americans working part-time jobs increased by 1.2 million in December and January. More than 850,000 of them say it was by choice. Employers, workers, and economists all say the pandemic led to burnout as many sought to change careers and work less. Rising inflation has also forced some who are recently retired to get a part-time job.
The thought of self-driving cars hitting the road makes a lot of people nervous. The survey by AAA shows about 70% of respondents say they are afraid of fully automated vehicles. That's up from 55% last year. The Auto Club says the findings should drive automakers to make the technology safer and more reliable. Automotive experts say high-profile crashes related to self-driving cars play a big part in motorists' concerns. Apple is delaying updates to an email app with AI-powered tools. The new update for Blue Mail includes OpenAI's ChatGPT chatbot. That AI is meant to help users write emails by using previous messages and calendar events. But Apple believes the feature could expose users to inappropriate content. Apple's app review team suggests the update should contain an age restriction of 17 or older. Blue Mail says Apple's restriction makes it harder for them to bring innovation to its users.
If you have a legal question, you can talk to a licensed lawyer right now for free. Call the number on your screen. There are hundreds of lawyers taking calls today. It is 891-9779. We'll check in with Five on Your Side's Keely Arthur after the break. But first, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
We return to our top story. Alec Murdoch, the disgraced attorney from South Carolina, will spend the rest of his life in prison for murdering his wife and youngest son.
Murdoch spoke briefly before the sentencing, denying he would ever hurt either member of his family. Michelle McConaughey has been watching the sentencing hearing, and at one point, Michelle, the judge scolded Murdoch for what he called duplicitous behavior.
Yeah, that's right, Jeff. The judge called this one of the most troubling cases for him as a judge, acknowledging that they used to see each other in the community because they're both involved in the legal community, but that it was especially heartbreaking for him to see, Murdoch go as a grieving father and husband to the man that was convicted of killing his wife and son. Before giving his sentence, the judge spoke of Murdoch's opioid addiction that he admitted on the stand. Take a listen.
The monster you become when you take 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 opioid pills, maybe you become another person. I've seen that before. The person standing before me was not the person who committed the crime, though it's the same individual.
And Murdaugh admitted that sometimes he would take more than 2,000 milligrams of oxycodone a day. Again, Murdaugh maintains his innocence.
Tonight, there's an all-new Dateline that'll feature the latest in the trial of Alec Murdaugh, convicted of murdering his wife, Maggie, and son, Paul. Insiders close to the family will speak out for the first time to NBC News' Craig Melvin. That airs right here on WRAL tonight at 9.
A North Carolina case making news from Washington in a nationally watched Supreme Court case. The case is Moore v. Harper and deals with some controversial questions about political power. A new order suggests the court may not issue a ruling at all. WRAL State Government reporter Will Doran has been following this for a year now, so Will, catch us up on this case.
Yeah, so people may remember this from the oral arguments back in December. I mean, it was big national news at the time. And what this is, it's a state case that deals with just one big question: who should have the final say over election law? Should it be the legislature or should it be the courts? And, right now the courts have the power to rule laws unconstitutional. For some election laws, the legislature would like for that to end. That would get rid of some key checks and balances we have, obviously, and critics say it could be a massive change to our state elections, both in North Carolina and all over the country.
But now the Supreme Court is wondering if they should issue a ruling at all.
Yeah, that's right. So last night they issued an order asking for an update in the state level version of this case that really goes back to our state Supreme Court and the shift in power that we have here. People remember voters moved the court in 2022 from a Democratic majority to a Republican majority. That new Republican majority came in and said that they want to now take a second chance and rehear the state level version of this case. And why do that? Insiders think that they want to potentially undo the ruling that went against the legislature and led to this Supreme Court case in the first place.
So if that happens, what does that mean for the U.S. Supreme Court case?
It's a good question, Renee. You're thinking like a Supreme Court justice, because that actually is the question that they asked both sides in this case to answer. What now?
So when should we expect to hear something?
Soon. The responses to this are due in the next couple of weeks. And, I'm going to be watching, to see what everybody has to say and what the Supreme Court says in reply.
Now we know you'll be on top of it. Will, thank you so much. For all of our coverage on the case, visit the NC Capital section of WRAL.com. Will, thanks.
If you have a legal question and you don't know where to turn, Attorneys on Call can take your call right now for free. Five on Your Side's Keely Arthur is live with the volunteers who are taking those calls, as well as a special guest, Keely.
Jeff, this is just a fraction of the volunteers and legal experts here answering your calls today for free. The event's only been going on for about an hour and a half, and so far 600 people in Raleigh alone have called. I have here with me Jason Hensley. He is the executive director for the North Carolina Bar Association. Jason, we were talking off camera about why this event is so special and very unique. What is that?
So there are 400 attorney volunteers across North Carolina who are taking questions from the public. It's a great opportunity for the public to pick up the phone, call in, and get the answer to the question they've been thinking about.
And rare in that you really can't do that any other day of the year.
That's right. It's just simply picking up the phone, dialing that number, and reaching an attorney.
Last year, because of the pandemic, we saw so many people calling in about housing issues. We're seeing a different trend this year. What are people calling in about?
So this year, they're calling in about family law questions and estate planning questions. So with family law, they're thinking about divorce, custody, and alimony. With estate planning, they're thinking about the loss of a loved one or what happens after they die, wills, how does everything work.
And tell me a little bit more about what people can get out of these phone calls, how they should handle the phone call, and what they should expect.
Right. So when they call in, they should expect to wait a little bit because we have a lot of calls. We have a lot of volunteers, but be patient. Think about their question. Think about the information that they're looking for and the situation that's bringing them there, and be ready to discuss that in a pretty concise way.
And I know you want people, again, yeah, be patient and try to call as soon as you can because we know the phone lines get very busy as the day progresses.
That's right. Take advantage of this opportunity. Call in when you can. We're here and very happy to help and looking forward to those questions.
Thank you so much. And just to reiterate, the event is going on from 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. You can call 919-891-799. That's the number for you to call. Call now if you can. We know the number gets very, very, very busy around 4 to 6 p.m. when people are done with work. So if you have time, call now.
Such a big help and free. Keep the calls coming. Keely, thank you.
Join WREL as we celebrate and support our amazing local arts community during the third annual Big Night In for the Arts. The event features performances by Tony Award winner Beth Level, fusion folk artists Larry and Joe, social media dance superstars Costin Mayer, plus a live performance from Grammy-nominated country artist Reese Palmer. Watch, donate, and celebrate the arts next Thursday at 7 on WREL and wherever you stream WREL.
Taking students back in time without ever leaving the present. How virtual reality is offering students a unique way to learn Black history.
Same energy in a smaller package. How these small transportable reactors can help meet our energy needs without warming our climate. Stay in the know wherever you are with the WREL News app. Get breaking news alerts, live newscasts, and on-demand video streamed right to your phone.
Morehouse College is a historically Black college in Atlanta, and it's teaching Black history in a brand new way. Zinclay Essamois explains how teachers are using virtual reality to immerse students in history.
Morehouse College is taking virtual learning to a whole new level.
Why teach Black history through virtual reality? Why not use a textbook or the typical means of education?
So immersive virtual reality is a real unique space.
Dr. Messina Morris is the director of this historically Black college's Metaverse project.
You can actually go back to that time period and recreate the scene of what happened and bring it to life for most students.
Students in Atlanta, Georgia, now taking the inaugural Introduction to the African Diaspora course.
In the class, we cover a scope from, like, say, the Underground Railroad Museum with the Amistad, all the way to the Civil Rights Movement with Martin Luther King's March on Washington, and also his assassination in 1968.
The class at times witnessing historic and humbling scenes from U.S. history.
And you can see the horrendous, just inhumane conditions.
It's a lot to take in.
I imagine a lot of this content is pretty heavy and sobering for students. How do you walk them through that?
First, you know, I mentally prepare them for the class and say, no, we're going to be seeing, slave ship. We're going to be seeing some gore. But if you cannot take it, you can always, you know, there's an exit button on your headset. You can exit out.
And while the course requires emotional depth, practitioners and students say they're glad to dig in.
I never used Metaverse or virtual reality before. It just made me realize I'm grateful where I'm at today and that I was born in this age to I can go back in history and just see what people went through.
The course is part of a worldwide VR initiative by Victory XR, a virtual and augmented reality company founded in 2016.
We have close to 70 colleges and universities signed up to either deploy classes in the metaverse or they have purchased licenses to begin exploring and figuring out what model might work for them.
Professors Morris and Hamilton hope more schools will follow suit to give teachers and students the historical knowledge and technical skill to enter the 21st century workforce and world.
At the end of the day, we have got to use the lessons of the past to help make sure that they don't get relived.
A look at Black history through the eyes of the future.
Carbon emission levels are getting higher, which spells more trouble for our climate. Up next, why some scientists say mini nuclear reactors could provide hope for the future. Also, Will Smith returns to the award stage for the first time since he smacked Chris Rock at the Oscars, the role that earned him an award. Not all records are good. A new report is sounding the alarm as global carbon dioxide emissions reach new heights. Jackie Abanez explains why some engineers say micronuclear reactors could be a solution to providing clean energy for the future.
The world's carbon dioxide emissions in 2022 reached their highest level on record, according to an alarming new report by the International Energy Agency. The greenhouse gas, which scientists say is responsible for contributing to rising global temperatures, is generated when coal, natural gas, and oil are burned to power many forms of transportation, as well as homes, factories, and businesses. On the other hand, the U.S. Energy Information Administration says nuclear reactors don't emit carbon dioxide while they're in operation. But it takes a lot of material to build these massive plants until recently.
Microreactors are an exciting advanced reactor technology.
Engineers at Last Energy are building tiny transportable nuclear reactors like this model in Texas.
Making this a manufacturable, repeatable product, we're going to be able to drastically reduce the cost of delivered energy, making clean energy affordable.
Soon, energy experts say microreactors like this can be used to power things like military compounds, concert venues, hospitals, and schools.
The University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign, Purdue University, and Penn State University are all working with companies to explore the use of nuclear power.
That was Jackie Abanez reporting. Now, the senior director for the Nuclear Energy Institute expects the first micro reactors to be up and running sometime between next year and 2026. Certainly can't come soon enough. Some might say it should have happened 10 years ago to help and try and fight climate change.
Right. Better now than never, though.
Certainly.
So they're on the move with that. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRO Severe Weather Center. Newest information we have is that wind advisory.
That's right. A new thing for this morning, from this morning for noon. You can see wind gusts up to 45 miles per hour. The advisory goes into effect at 6 p.m. and lasts until 1 a.m. tomorrow morning. And it's for our southern counties, but it doesn't mean that it's not going to be windy everywhere. We're going to see winds gusting here up to, say, 30, 35 miles per hour, then maybe up to 45 in some of our southern counties. And again, the wind is going to start to pick up. Right now, it's not bad. The steady wind is on the left, so 7 in Raleigh and Durham, 15 in Fayetteville. And then if we had any gusts, they would be in that white box on the right side. So not seeing any wind gusts at the moment. But that will change as we get through the afternoon. You can see, especially once we get to, say, 7, 8 o'clock, we begin to see our steady wind speeds really climbing. And those gusts at that point will start to climb to 35 in the north and maybe up to 45 in the south. So be ready for that. Right now, we're seeing a little wave of rain that's moving across the area from down here in Johnston County through Wake County up through the I-85 corridor up through Granville County. Things are pretty quiet back off to the west, but we'll continue to see some waves of rain moving through. We'll zoom in a little closer. This is moving really fast, getting ready to pass through Wake Forest. We're not looking at severe weather here, just a quick little band of rain that's moving through Creedmoor, Wake Forest, heading toward Lewisburg and on up toward Oxford and Henderson. Here's a look at the big picture. The low pressure system is where we're seeing most of the activity right now and along our cold front. The big area highlighted there in red is where we have a tornado watch. We have a number of tornado warnings that are actually right around the low. The low is going to continue to move up into the Ohio Valley. That's going to take most of the energy with it. But the cold front does come across the mountains, and it could bring us an isolated severe storm or two. Here's a look at radar as we get through the rest of the day. Looking at Futurecast, you can see just a few isolated showers. Things are pretty quiet during the evening commute. Futurecast continues to show maybe a little bit of clearing in some spots this afternoon. But the timeline remains the same for the last band along with the front, and that begins
chance to move into our area at around 9, between 10 and 11. It's in the middle of the viewing area and then moving out by the time we get to midnight. And it is going to be windy along that same time as well when we have that rain moving through. Best chance for severe storms, this level 3 risk that's well to our west, but it does include the mountains of North Carolina. The Piedmont mostly in that level 2 risk. And of course, for us, we're in that level 1 risk. Again, just the potential for an isolated bit of wind damage. We've got baseball practice going on right here at the DBAP. They just rolled up the tarp that was sitting over the baseball diamond, and those guys are getting ready to practice. And they have Fan Fest that is Saturday evening. If you got tickets for that, that's going to be a lot of fun. Looking at some wet conditions now in Apex, we just saw a shower roll through there, and your commute forecast looks a lot like it does right now. We'll see just a chance of an isolated shower with our temperatures in the 60s. It'll be dry for the weekend, breezy tomorrow morning, but highs will be in the 60s. Our next best chance of rain comes next Tuesday.
Thanks, Elizabeth. A warning for spring breakers from one cruise line. Don't rock the boat or else the penalty passengers could face for disturbing the voyage. We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we are following for you today. A judge in South Carolina has sentenced Alec Murdaugh to life in prison without parole for murdering his wife and youngest son. Before the sentencing, Murdaugh told the judge he maintains his innocence. He will remain in a holding facility before going to prison.
If you have a legal question and you don't know where to turn, Attorneys on Call can take your call right now for free. You're looking live at some of the volunteers who are offering their legal expertise for you. Call the number on your screen. You'll be connected to one of the hundreds of lawyers across the state taking calls today. You can ask about government benefits, criminal cases, employment. Before you call, get ready, have a way to take notes, and be prepared to explain your issue clearly. Five on Your Side's Attorneys on Call runs until 7 tonight.
Tiffany & Company revealed its newest brand ambassador. K-pop star Jimin will appear in its first campaign for the brand this spring. The company made the announcement with a picture of the BTS singer wearing a black suit and a collection of the brand's lock bracelets. He's the second K-pop star to ink a deal with Tiffany & Company in recent years after Rosé from girl group Blackpink. Will Smith is banned from the Oscars, but not from all award ceremonies. The entertainer appeared at the African-American Film Critics Association Awards this week. It was the first time he attended an awards show since slapping Chris Rock at last year's Oscars. Smith accepted the award for the film Emancipation. Last weekend, he won the NAACP Image Best Actor Award for the same film, but he did not attend that ceremony.
Carnival Cruise Line passengers, heed the warning. Spring breakers better behave or face a hefty fine. Carnival says unruly passengers could be hit with a $500 fine and forced to disembark early. Those who disrupt the comfort of other guests and crew will also be detained on board and then taken off the ship. The unruly passenger may also be banned from the cruise line. This comes after videos have shown up on social media in recent months of various brawls on cruises. How about a trip miles away from shore in the middle of the ocean? You might recognize the Frying Pan Tower. The owner is offering to raffle off a free weekend getaway at the tower for up to 4 people. It includes a trip out to the tower, a fishing trip, scuba diving, and a whole lot of stargazing. The owner is taking entries through the end of May.
Our pet of the day comes to us from the SPCA of Wake County. Pax is a 6-year-old dog, weighs 42 pounds. He's great with most people, including low-key, easygoing kids. Pax has picked up loads of commands. He can sit, give you his paw, he can leave it, lay down. I mean, he's also crate trained and house trained. Fun fact, Pax likes to have something in his bowl at all times. He won't overeat, but he wants something in there. Interested adopters can get more information at spcawake.org. NBC News Daily is next on WREL, your next local news update coming your way in 30 minutes.
And you can get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. We hope you have a great Friday.
Keep watching WREL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.